Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Football Garbage Time NFL Podcast. My name is Hakun Wong, and I'm the editor-in-chief of Football Garbage Time. And with me, as always, is senior staff writer Ryan Whitfield. And we are very lucky to have a special guest returning to join us today, Jeff Carrier of the NFL Talking Heads Fantasy Football Podcast, which you should all know is one of the top 10 fantasy football podcasts in the country. And even better than that, they were recently named as one of the top 20 podcasts of 2018 from all genres by LifeWire. So if you're not listening to them, you're really missing out. Go subscribe right now. Or actually, wait until the show's over and then go subscribe. It's probably better. Anyway, welcome back, Jeff. How are you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for the awesome lead-in, and just happy to be back to talk some more fantasy football with you guys.
Awesome. So this is really interesting, but from what I understand, you're developing a fantasy trade machine tool for NFL Talking Heads. So tell us a little bit more about that. What exactly is that, and how did you come up with that idea?
Well, it's basically as it kind of sounds. It's going to be something that you're going to be able to go online on our website at NFLTalkingHeads.com and just simply start evaluating trade offers. I'm sure that you guys receive plenty of trade questions from your listeners as well as we do. And it's always such a hot topic, and definitely when the season starts, definitely a way that you're able to, one of the biggest ways that you can kind of change your team around, either through bad draft picks or having a plethora of picks at one particular position. So we're going to, at least for this year, we're going to have a kind of a simple one-off trade in standard and PPR leagues, and we're going to try and get in two quarterback leagues as well, because we're big two quarterback league fans. And the focus is you are going to get a value difference of the players you put in, so that way you can, before you approach, you know, someone else in your league, you have something to kind of work off of as a framework in terms of, are you going to get screwed in this trade? Is this in favor of your trade? And hopefully, if everyone's kind of in agreement, then you, the league, whichever league and league owners, can have a little bit of something to work off of.
All right. Well, that sounds fantastic, because I'm always getting screwed in trades, so this will be a really good tool for me. Everybody, go check out this tool. It's coming soon. Go check out NFL Talking Heads podcast. Okay, we got lots to cover today, so we're going to get going position by position, discussing the top rookies for fantasy football, as well as those who are flying under the radar, both season-long and redraft dynasty and season-long redraft and dynasty league. So if we're not going to have technical difficulties, I'm going to stumble over my words. So that's the way it's going to work. So let's get this started here. All right, quarterbacks were all the hype this year, and we had a record 5 quarterbacks go in the first round of the 2018 NFL draft. So tell me, Jeff, of all the quarterbacks drafted, what are your top 3 for season-long redraft and dynasty fantasy football leagues? And are there any other quarterbacks that are flying under the radar that fantasy football players should keep an eye on?
Yeah, so for the top 2, I have the same in terms of redraft and dynasty. Number 1 being and 1 and 2 is kind of interchangeable for me, 1A and 1B, but the top 2 for me is pretty clear. It's Baker Mayfield going to Cleveland. They seem to have a new presence there in Cleveland. I am, although one of those people that I'm very hesitant drafting Cleveland players, so I can completely understand people if just because of the landing spot or just being Cleveland, but obviously they definitely have a new makeup of a team. One of the most, or the most accurate quarterback coming out of college, so that's always important. And then my second is Josh Rosen. I still, even though there is Sam Bradford there, he seemed to be the most NFL-ready. He was taking snaps underneath center. They kind of ran a little bit more of a NFL pro offense. So he is my number 2. I know there's some injury concerns there, but I don't believe Sam Bradford will hold up, because history has told us that he won't. And for redraft leagues, my number 3 would be Sam Darnold, just out of the principle of basically going to be starting day one. You know, that's really the only main reason there. I'm not too sure what to expect out of him, but we've seen a lot with quarterbacks. You don't necessarily have to be really good in NFL purposes to be productive in fantasy. So the Jets are, expect to kind of play from behind, which might play to Sam Darnold's strengths and for fantasy purposes. Third on my list for dynasty purposes specifically is Lamar Jackson, just simply because with the legs, we've seen quarterbacks with Cam Newton, Deshaun Watson last year, Russell Wilson, you name it. Especially if you're playing in a 4 point for passing touchdown league, these quarterbacks are extremely valuable, the ones that are getting points on the ground. So if you can hold out for three quarters of the year or 1 year in your rookie draft, Lamar Jackson forecast to be the starter at the latest by 2019.
Let me ask you, before you get onto any possible, you know, those or who might be flying under the radar, about Sam Darnold, you're not worried about Josh McCown being there or Teddy Bridgewater?
You know, I'm really not, and me and Seth, my co-host, had talked about this, and he was a little concerned himself. Josh McCown, absolutely not. I mean, he might be better day one, but when you're investing in third overall pick, I mean, we just have to go back to all of the other quarterbacks that have been drafted in the top 10. They are just forced on the field earlier and earlier. The Bears gave a $45 million contract to Mike Glennon just in the same year that they drafted Trubisky at second overall. So I don't think there's going to be any issue Sam Darnold basically climbing the depth chart and starting, I'm projecting, day one.
Well, you don't have to remind me of the disaster known as Mike Glennon because I'm a Bears fan. So I know how that turned out. Ryan, why don't we turn over to you? What are your thoughts about this top three and any other, you know, concerns about any of those guys? I know you're a big Lamar Jackson fan. So do you have any thoughts on any of those guys?
Yeah. So, to be boring, I pretty much agree with that list straight from the top down. I have Rosen as my number one guy. Kind of a late-breaking opinion for me was that I was high on Lamar Jackson, but especially given where they fell, each of them respectively, Rosen being in Arizona with David Johnson returning, Larry Fitzgerald, if they can ever figure out their receiving core beyond Larry Fitzgerald, which, I mean, eventually they're going to have to, you know, I think that that's the best place for him. And I really do like Rosen's makeup. And then obviously just, you know, Jackson ending up in a place where he's behind Flacco. Me and Jeff are in complete agreement that we shouldn't even mention Josh Allen's name because I think he is going to be an absolute bust here. And, you can't complete 60% of your passes at any point in your life past Pop Warner. That's a huge, red flag to me. So, pretty much up and down, I agree with everything, the stack order of those guys. And I don't know if you I think you said 1A and 1B on Mayfield and Rosen. I would just flip them that I have Rosen slightly ahead and just, I've been burned by the Browns in fantasy football one too many times.
We all have.
Despite all the weapons that they do accumulate. I'm not buying until I see it this time.
And I can tell you this, I have a friend of mine who's actually related to Joe Flacco, so I hesitate to ask how he felt when the Ravens traded up to get Lamar Jackson. I'm sure he was not too thrilled about that. So, Jeff, let's turn it back over to you. Did you have any other quarterbacks that you would put on your radar for fantasy football purposes?
You know, I really don't. If you're in dire need, Josh Allen will be throwing the football, so that's a plus this year. But anyone else this year, especially, I don't see, anyone else getting a crack at starting. And even long-term, I know a lot of people were kind of on the Mason Rudolph bandwagon. I really wasn't. He falls to the third round and ends up being behind Big Ben. And I think Big Ben's going to be there for a number of years. So I think that's going to be much more of a AJ McCarron scenario where we're just going to forget about him. He's just not going to develop the way that maybe people projected going into the draft.
All right. Well, that's a lot of great information on the quarterback position. Let's go ahead and ring the bell on that and move on over to the running backs, who as a group weren't quite as hyped as the quarterbacks, but it certainly contained perhaps the most hyped player of the entire draft in Saquon Barkley. In fact, according to ESPN.com and as specifically predicted by OBJ on Twitter, Barkley had the top selling jersey of any rookie on the first night of the NFL draft ever. So he's popular with the fans, but should he be and should others be popular for fantasy football? Jeff, let's start with you. Give us your top three running back rookies for single season redraft leagues and dynasty leagues, and then we're going to talk to you about those who might be flying under the radar.
So for number one is obviously Saquon Barkley. You know, I'm going to be really, really interested in seeing where he goes in these redraft leagues. I've been kind of the type of player that has shied away from these super high-rated rookies just because they're going around players that are, you know, in the top 15, top 10. They're going around players that are just complete studs, you know, like is someone going to take Barkley over Kamara? I've always struggled with that in the past because I play a little bit more conservative in the early rounds because drafting Kamara versus Barkley, I feel like I'm not going to lose the league as long as I don't make that mistake. But he is clearly the number one. They've improved that offensive line a great deal this offseason. I mean, Eli Manning is one of the big winners from this draft, I think, with and offseason as a whole. Number two, I think I have number one and number two kind of clear-cut. And number two is Darius Geis, and he definitely projects better as a standard player versus a PPR player because they're going to – he already wasn't really utilized as a pass-catching back at LSU, although he seemed to do a fine job when asked upon. But they have Chris Thompson there. They're not going to need him to do that job. He should be the goal line back. He's a violent runner. He's a physical freak. I know he fell a little bit in the draft over some – character concerns, but this could be – we've seen a lot of people draft just Dalvin Cook last year, for example, and that didn't seem to have an issue. So I really like those two running backs. Those are my clear two. Number three is really tough. And for at least redraft, I think I would definitely go Rashad Penny. And I've already kind of liked him before he was drafted, but the draft capital that Seattle uses – and they have a couple other nice pieces, you could say, but being a first-round running back, and I could just see Russell Wilson having to dump off Rashad Penny a ton. He's going to have to pick up his pass-blocking game a lot because that was one of his weaknesses in college, and it was actually one of the worst in college, but I could see him being really good. For dynasty purposes, for the running back position long-term, you know, maybe at number three, I would put Sonny Michel over Rashad Penny. It's really tough taking any type of New England running back. But, of course, you know, anytime you see a team drafted running back in the first round, you have to feel like that they're going to give them a majority of the workload. And a Patriot running back, at least as long as Tom Brady is a quarterback, doesn't need 25 touches to be overly productive, especially if getting the goal line carries. So I like him. The way that they use their running backs has been great. And we saw Deion Lewis really take a lead role last year, and that really helped keep defenses a little bit more balanced in terms of, hey, we're bringing you know, New England's bringing in James White. They're passing. In the past, they would always have, like, Garrett Blunt. You know, he's not going to be going out for a pass. Now Sonny Michel allows them to be a little bit more disguising, should we say, in terms of what direction they're heading to on each down.
Okay. All right. So I got some follow-up questions on that, but let me turn it back over to Ryan for a second and get his take on this. Ryan, what are your thoughts on these top three running back rookies, and what are your thoughts if they're any different?
Yeah. So, you know, I think guys, I mean, Saquon Barkley obviously was, you know, a big winner fantasy-wise. The big loser is the 2020 New York Giants when Eli continues to regress and they're stuck with him and they could have used a top end pick on a quarterback, but I digress. A guy named Jeff didn't use there that I like, that I was high on prior to the draft, and I actually kind of liked the landing spot for him, was Kerryon Johnson going to Detroit. Still desperate for a running game. And, you know, I think that he might have a limited role to start, but I think he could emerge as the guy down the stretch here. And in Seattle, you know, all I would do is reiterate what Jeff said, but I do want to just throw in quickly while I can here on a non-fantasy topic, or for me, who had him in a keeper league, apparently the disrespect for Chris Carson continues. So, you know, I think he loses out in this deal. But aside from that, you know, Kerryon Johnson was really the only other name that I had on my list that I'm keeping an eye on because I think he could end up, you know, beating out Amir Abdullah and the rest of them there in Detroit for that spot.
So Ryan, let me ask you, you actually, are you thinking that Kerryon Johnson will be actually in a lead back role or kind of a, or do you think he's going to be kind of a supplemental type back role like early on? And what are you envisioning in Detroit if somebody were to take him this year?
Yeah, so I'm envisioning a real kind of running back by committee early on. But again, I just think that position is open to win. You know, I said in the pre-draft, actually, Mark Leopold and me, who was on our show last week, we're going back and forth on Twitter about it, that, you know, I thought he could be similar as far as a breakout candidate like Alvin Kamara, although a different type of runner.
Right.
I think having him spelled on third downs, at least initially, there's some concerns about his frame and being able to take on the full three-down backload. So, you know, I wouldn't expect that, at least not initially. But I think they'll kind of ease him in. But I could see him as a guy that, you know, around the quarter turn in the year, around week five or so, that starts to emerge as the premier back in Detroit, just because, you know, I just have never really been in love with any of the other options that they have there right now.
And then, and what about, you know, LeGarrette Blount? Of course, you know how LeGarrette Blount can be the ultimate vulture when it comes to fantasy football. He's going to be over there. Matt Patricia's over there. You know, obviously I'm not saying he had anything to do with the way LeGarrette Blount was used when he was at New England, but, you know, are you worried that you're going to have this poaching situation and that will probably might drain some of his value?
Yeah, I mean, you always have to be concerned about the poaching issue with LeGarrette, but, you know, at the end of the day, you know, he kind of sucks. And last year, it's obviously a huge drop down. I mean, talk about a guy that was, you know, earmarked for regression in the touchdown category last year. And I just see him as almost like a veteran guy to bring in to try to, you know, spice up the competition in camp. But I wouldn't have any real long-term concerns about LeGarrette Blount. Let me put it this way. If LeGarrette Blount emerges as a real factor for Detroit, that says more about Kerryon Johnson in my projection of him and how wrong it was than it does about LeGarrette Blount.
Look at that. Patriots fan taking a shot at LeGarrette Blount. What a shock. Let's go and turn it back over here. Jeff, why don't you tell us, what do you have as far as running backs that might be flying under the radar?
Yeah, I think one of the names is definitely, as Ryan mentioned, Kerryon Johnson. You know, he seems to be a little bit of a favorite here in what it sounds like in some of the fantasy communities early on, for many of the reasons that Ryan mentioned, though. So he does have a really nice balanced frame. He's, you know, not slender like Ronald Jones, and they don't have a ton of competition there in terms of high quality. I mean, they have a lot of competition, but, you know, none of it is going to scare you. You know, in terms of, you know, negatives against Kerryon Johnson, of course, you got to wonder, how is Matt Patricia going to handle that backfield coming from New England? Is he going to embody something very similar? But we've seen in the past where, you know, Kamara gets kind of downgraded because they bring in Adrian Peterson. Dalvin Cook gets kind of downgraded because they give a lot of money to Latavius Murray. And, you know, these teams want to win football games. So as long as Kerryon's the best, I think he's going to rise to the top. It might take a few weeks to a month, but he graded out really good as a pass blocking back, and that's always really important in the NFL. So I don't think he'll have a problem getting up there. The other person I liked a lot, I liked a good bit, was Ronald Jones. I think he's probably projects a little bit better as a redraft candidate, just because they have no one else there, and Tampa Bay still was able to be fairly productive with their quarterbacks in terms of fantasy. Now their running backs, should I say, was not overly efficient, but they were able to get a lot of points from catching out of the backfield. Ronald Jones is a blazer. He probably projects a little bit better as an edge rusher, but he's going to be the best person they have there. So I'm definitely going to be keeping an eye on him. And The other, you know, I know a lot of people are talking about one of the winners in this draft might be Marlon Mack. But another name that I would keep on the radar is Jordan Wilkins. He came out of the fifth round. Now, the issue with the Indianapolis Colts and why I'm not high on Marlon Mack is because they're going to play a running back by committee to the 10th degree, the same way that Philly did when Frank Reich was in Philly and Doug Peterson came from Kansas City. So there's a long history there in terms of running backs by committee. But if Jordan Wilkins is going basically undrafted, he's going to have a good shot at at getting carries this upcoming year just because they simply don't have anyone else on the roster besides Marlon Mack.
And let me ask you, what about Royce Freeman? I mean, I mean, he kind of sticks out there over in Denver and third round pick. Do you have any feelings about Royce Freeman?
Yeah, the thing with Royce Freeman, I mean, the landing spot is phenomenal. And Devontae Booker, I think we can all agree, has had his opportunity and lost it. And them drafting mm-hmm. someone in the second round, actually it was the third round. I'm not high on Royce Freeman, so I see the opportunity there in terms of touches, kind of like Ronald Jones. Like, he could be decent fantasy this upcoming year, but I could also see him being one of those people that is okay for production-wise fantasy because he's getting a lot of touches, he's getting force-fed the ball, but Denver might realize he's not the key to the future and then might end up getting drafted another running back. These teams, it's kind of weird. Year after year, we've seen certain teams just keep drafting new running backs every year. And Denver, right. Just drafted Devontae Booker. And we saw Baltimore do it like 3-4 years in a row. Yep. Royce Freeman really poor at pass blocking, so that's a concern. So he's a little bit further down my list. And I would keep an eye on him only for the purpose of the fact that no one else is there.
Okay. All right. Well, lots of good information on the running backs. Let's go ahead and ring the bell on that and move on to the next position. That's the wide receivers, who again weren't nearly as hyped as the quarterbacks and the running backs, but there's plenty of potential fantasy football goodness to be had there. The question is whether that goodness is for real or simply fool's gold. Jeff, give us your top three rookie wide receivers for single season redraft leagues and dynasty leagues.
Yeah, for the top two, wide receivers I have are probably the same in terms of both formats, dynasty and redraft, which is in no particular order. Very close, DJ Moore, Calvin Ridley. I think Calvin Ridley finds himself in a perfect kind of fit situation where he doesn't have to be the number one. He's not that type of receiver. He can play the slot underneath Julio Jones when he's drawing all the covers. So I think that's a good fit. I know there's a lot of mouths to feed there, but that offense can be explosive. I think it's a good fit. He could basically come in day one and kind of be the type of receiver that he is. DJ Moore, a physical freak, tested off the charts, only really needs that one drag route or a quick slant to take it for 40, 50 yards. And they don't have any other wide receivers there, so they're going to rely on him a lot. So I think those are definitely the top two. For more long-term, I really like Christian Kirk out of Texas A&M, mm-hmm. taken in the second round from Arizona. I don't know if he's going to be able to slide. He might be fairly productive this year, but definitely long-term, especially now that they have Josh Rosen. I really liked the tape that I saw from him. I know he projects to be a little bit more of only a slot guy, but we've seen how productive these certain slot wide receivers can be, especially for fantasy and especially in PPR. He's pretty good. The only other person, I guess, let me give you two other names that these are all just so close in wide receivers is mm-hmm. Dante Pettis in San Francisco and Anthony Miller. They're both going to slide in and be potential starters day one. Chicago needs, that slot guy. I know they have Taylor Gabriel, but Anthony Miller went a little bit underneath the radar, was actually picked a little bit higher, I think, than people thought. And then Dante Pettis was definitely picked a little bit higher, but San Francisco, he's kind of like a Swiss Army knife for Kyle Shanahan. He's going to be doing reverses and punt returns and all kinds of stuff. So he might touch the ball only a few times a game, but each time he touches it, it could be explosive.
All right. So, Ryan, I'm going to turn it over to you for a second. What are your thoughts on those wide receivers and any other people you're thinking in the top three?
Yeah, so I'm going to, again, be boring and, echo the top two here. DJ Moore, I think, is, the clearly the number one guy and going to get his touches, and I think he could have a breakout year. I like Steve Smith. He's quickly becoming my favorite analyst. He was one of my favorite football players, and he gave quite the ringing endorsement draft night for him. So, I'll side with Jeff and with my boy Steve Smith Sr. there on that one. Calvin Ridley, who I'm not a fan of, but I agree, again, the fit to be, who a lot of people thought would be the number one receiver in this class to go to a place where he can take kind of a secondary role in a high-flying offense with the most grossly overpaid quarterback in the league. You know, we'll benefit him. And then third, this one's not a top three guy, but you know, sometimes you know me well enough, Hakun, that I got to die on a die on certain hills. And I think it's an absolute travesty. My boy Alan Lazard was not drafted, but however, pretty unprecedented that Jacksonville made guarantees to Alan Lazard when they signed him as an undrafted free agent, that they would not sign any other undrafted wide receivers when they took him. I'm not a big D.D. Westbrook fan. Marquise Lee's a nice player, not great. So I think he could ultimately, even though probably a lot of people were obviously sleeping on him going into the draft, I think there's even more people sleeping on him now. But I think he could actually work his way into a starting role with Jacksonville and be a useful player, with a guy who's pretty inaccurate, as Blake Bortles is, having a big-bodied receiver who really uses his frame to box out coverage and high-point footballs, and is really physical the way he catches. You know, I think that he could be a good, real late-round steal, especially in dynasty drafts.
All right, and I'm gonna turn it over to Jasper here for real quick. We're running a little short on time, but any rookie wide receivers running under the radar do you want to mention?
I think I covered most of them. You know, a lot of people are kind of high on Cortland Sutton. I think he's definitely a much more of a long-term play. I'm not going to be looking at him on redraft leagues unless Denver kind of moves on. And I'll be very interested in Michael Gallup. I had to do a little bit more research on him personally, but obviously with that hole there in Dallas, you know, everyone's got to keep him on their radar as well.
All right, let's ring the bell on the wide receivers. Turn over to tight ends. Only got a couple minutes left, guys, so let's talk about this in short form. Typically not a big deal as rookies regarding to fantasy football, but we saw what Evan Engram did last year. So, Jeff, tell us, who's your top three rookie tight ends for a single-season redraft and dynasty league?
Yeah, just real quick, I'll say Mike Gesicki, if I'm saying that correctly, is probably the number one. Number two is most likely Jordan Akins. And number three would be one of the Baltimore guys, potentially Hayden Hurst. Just kind of going off the fit and need there, especially with the Miami guy being a little bit more of a receiving type.
Yeah, what a shame for Dallas Goedert, though, going to Philly. He's not going to have much of a role behind Ertz unless he gets injured. But let me turn it over to you, Ryan. What are your thoughts on the tight ends real quick?
Yeah, I mean, exactly the same. Dallas Goedert was my favorite tight end coming into the draft, but for fantasy purposes, ending up in Philadelphia, you know, couldn't have been a worse spot unless he ended up in New England behind Gronkowski. So, exactly what you two just said.
Yeah, so I love Mike Gesicki, too. I think he was actually my favorite tight end. I was surprised that Hayden Hurst got selected first. All right, we're actually running down to the very end here. Any of those tight ends running under the radar that people should keep an eye on, Jeff?
I guess one name could be an Ian Thomas. I know that Carolina just brought back Greg Olsen for a couple years, so it could take a little bit of time, a la Hunter Henry. But he might be a name that, you know, you can get really late in your rookie drafts, or I guess that would be probably the main area that I would look at him, but, or, you know, barring an injury to Greg Olsen.
All right. Fantastic fantasy football knowledge from Jeff and from Ryan. I'm going to blow the horn on this session. That was fantastic. Thank you so much. Well, that is all the time we have today. So let's first give a big thank you to Jeff Carrier of the NFL Talking Heads Fantasy Football Podcast. If you ever tune into them, go give them a listen. They are fantastic. Plus, keep an eye out for their new fantasy trade machine tool, which is coming real soon. Hey, Jeff, why don't you give us your social media accounts so people can follow you?
Yeah, pretty easy. I think across the board, everything is NFL Talking Heads.
All right. So Google that and follow all of it. Anything that says NFL Talking Heads, that is where you need to go. Ryan, how about your Twitter and Instagram so people can follow you?
Yeah, so first, Jeff, I want to extend a thank you to you for coming on a second time. You were our first guest last year, and it's kind of started a really successful year for us and a string of guests coming on and put us in touch with the guys from Beer Fueled Fantasy. So deep and sincere thank you from me. You can follow me on Twitter, at Ryan Whitfield NE, where I just surpassed 1,000 Twitter followers, so please follow me on there. Our Instagram is football_garbage_time. And check out my boys at DraftingSleepers.com, the social network for fantasy sports.
All right, yeah, and it is that is truly a good point there, Jeff. You really did start a trend for us, and it was fantastic. So thank you so much for that. We look forward to having you back on the show again as we get closer to fantasy football season. All right, thanks everyone for tuning in. We'll be back next week with much more NFL news and nonsense. And until then, enjoy your NFL week.
Thanks, guys.